Hello, and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Monday, August 12th, 2002. Today's session is titled Discovering Your Spiritual Path, presented by Kathy Tinker. The tape number is TIC 2002-01. Let's listen in.
Since we're such a small group, just kind of go around and share a name and where we're from, and if there's anything in particular that either drew you here or something that you're hoping to hear before you leave today, and if not, that's okay too, but just out of curiosity. It's always interesting to hear why people choose to be here. Hi, come on in. So you want to start over here and then just kind of whip around the room?
Sure. I'm Christy Lee and I'm from Olympia, Washington. I just came here to learn and listen.
I'm Rhonda Sargent from Flagstaff, Arizona, and this is my first time at Holden, so I'm just experiencing everything.
I'm Margaret Lowe. I'm from Anchorage, Alaska, and I guess I've certainly enjoyed the work of Georgia O'Keeffe, and I have a sister-in-law who has done a lot of art and spirituality and follows this, so it seemed very interesting to me.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Stephen. I'm from Seattle, Washington, and I'm just here to learn.
Great. Nancy Johnson from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hello. Just here to explore some new options.
Great. Becky Swanson, also from Minneapolis.
Just here to listen.
Good. Linda Allen from Bellingham. And I just have my work and my life is, it's just a lot of passion around art and spirituality and living today. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why don't we get you before we go across?
I'm Terry Cole from Forest Lake, Minnesota, and I've never been into art very much. I just thought I'd come here and something.
Beautiful. I'm Leanne, I'm from Chicago. I'm just wondering what that's pretty disgusting.
I'm Linda from Portland, and spiritual disciplines and art are both strong interests.
I'm Mark Perlin from Seattle, Washington, and this is my 18th time up here. I'm not going to be on, I'm working in Seattle, but the kitchen help and make dry. And I've always been glad to come to different programs.
Uh-huh. Okay. We're just sharing a name and where we're from, and if there's anything in particular that drew you to this class or anything.
My name is Scott Slava, and I'm from Bellingham. And Georgia O'Keeffe, I've always loved her work, so just intrigued by what you have to say.
Great. Well, welcome everybody. My name is Kathy, and I'm from Portland, and I'm always looking for ways to talk about spirituality and spiritual direction in the Protestant community. And through that process, I fell in love with Georgia O'Keeffe for art and her artistic process, really. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. And then at the end, hopefully, we'll have a connection of how this all works. But welcome. We're just sharing our name, where we're from, and why we're here, if anything seems to
go. Oh, okay. I'm Shirley Knutsby from Ann Arbor, Michigan. I'm a potter here for 3 weeks. And I'm always interested in connecting between art and spirituality.
Okay, wonderful. So I want to start out just kind of out of curiosity and to connect us a little bit. There's nothing right or wrong about your feelings or answers to any of these questions, but I'm just kind of curious. How many people here grew up in a religious tradition where you had religious education or rituals in the home or whatever, you had some kind of connection with your church, all of that, so most but not all of you. And out of that, was there a place along the way or something that you still have sitting somewhere in you about a concept of God as judging or inviting perfection or something like that? I know I grew up with that.
Expecting, I think, is the word.
Uh-huh. So just a couple of you. And how about growing up with a concept that there is a particular way to pray or a particular way that God answers prayer. Really? Wow. That's amazing. I've never had that before. Welcome. Come on in. You can move up here if you want to, or stay in the back, whatever's comfortable. How about your, as you were growing up and in your early adult life, concept of what a spiritual person is? Well, they do this, or mm-hmm. God talks to them like that, or whatever things mm-hmm. people have that feel kind of familiar.
I think the thing about prayer is always, it's sort of, I always grew up thinking it was a solemn act, you know, and going back to that previous question. Yeah, spiritual people do. There's distinct activities.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we maybe reflected a little more on these questions. The reason that I asked them is partly curiosity, because I'm looking to see kind of what is the same and different about people's paths. But most of the time I find that these, if you have grown up in a religious tradition, even if you aren't directly taught things, there are certain things that just become a part of your belief system that you don't even know are there. And then your example is a perfect one. Then you realize that you have concepts of something, and then maybe you also realize that that doesn't really work for you, or that doesn't fit, or it's not coming the same way you expected it. And then it's pretty easy to then say, well, I must not be a very spiritual person, or God doesn't really have time for me, or I'm not very good at listening to God. When maybe it's that there's a different way, you know, that you express your spirituality, or a different way that God wants to be with you.
Mm-hmm. I think what this reminds me of is the difference of whether it's appropriate to walk to the communion table in a very solemn, very, very pious way, or whether you kind of go there sort of smiling and joyfully going to enjoy the meal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a kind of a thing that's evolved
for you. Uh-huh. So yeah, that's a good example. Uh-huh. And then whether you should feel that's okay, or you keep it to yourself, or but if it's your expression. Yeah. Okay, well, I invite you to kind of keep those things floating around your mind as we talk a little bit about Georgia O'Keeffe. And what I want to do is share with you a little bit about her, sort of coming into her, as we say in spirituality sometimes, her I am-ness as an artist, her own identity, her unique identity as an artist. And I think the way that she did that and the things that she had to say about that are very, very similar to a spiritual awakening or spiritual growth path. And it's kind of easier to see in art, which is a little bit concrete, and we know kind of the result of where she went with all of that. So it might just help us then come circle back to these questions and break things open just a little bit after I do that. Georgia O'Keeffe started out as a lot of artists do. She got into the sort of traditional artistic path where she went to the Art Institute in Chicago, and she was trained there, and some of it she liked, but she didn't really feel like she fit. And that's a very prestigious place to go as an artist. It's a very good place to get into the art world. And so she had some tension about that, because she had this wonderful lucky break that she was in one of the best art schools in the country, learning the most progressive kind of art from, you know, some of the most famous teachers, and it wasn't really speaking to her. And later on, she went to New York and took some classes at Columbia. Same thing happened. She was with and got into some of the studios in New York City that were on the cutting edge of European art before it even made the American art scene. And again, a very prestigious opportunity. And while she found some things that were inspiring there, she really wasn't fitting in. And that made her question a lot of things about her art and whether she would become a professional artist or not. And then for practical reasons, she needed to take some time and go back and teach art. And when she was in Texas, she was teaching at a small school in a small community, and she began to paint differently. That she really liked the space of Texas and the openness.
And she did. She was the art person from miles around, so she kind of could do whatever she wanted without, you know, anyone's critique or without feeling like she's not measuring up to the nouveau, whatever it is that's going on in the art world. And so some of the things that she learned along her path there really opened her up as an artist. And one of the things that she discovered, she said, it is only by selection, by elimination, by emphasis, that we get at the real meaning of things. She wasn't worried about, well, it's not only by practicing these brush strokes or studying these, you know, artists or, you know, redrawing these figures. That wasn't what she was talking about, the practice of art, as much as she was talking about the essence of her art. Her art, and I'm sure this is true for lots of artists, her art really came from the inside out. It wasn't a technique to her. The technique was secondary to what it was she wanted to express. And what she always wanted to express wasn't, you know, a perfect flower or perfect pueblo or something. What she wanted to, always said she wanted to express was the meaning of a thing to her, how she felt about it. So that was her goal. Not the technical correctness of how she did it, but did it, when she stepped back to look at it, did it really represent the meaning of it for her? You know, was it awesome? Was it bright? Was it tragic? Was it whatever? You know, the emotion of the art was very important to her. And once she figured that out, she really had a major shift in her art, and she really could express emotion and not just technique. And I think that's a really connecting point for spirituality, that it's not the technique that gets us the spirituality, it's the spirituality that becomes expressed in certain, what you want to call it, a technique or a practice. It comes from within and becomes expressed more than, you know, we want it to fit a particular pattern, like Georgia O'Keeffe. It didn't work for her when her art tried to fit a particular pattern, a particular concept that someone else said was the way that you know, the measure of a good artist is like this, and that wasn't what she was responding to. But as soon as she was able to break open that she could express herself, and the art was the expression of her, you know, from the inside out, and not the display of her technique, that really opened her up as an artist. And I think that can really open us up as spiritual people when we sort of shift that space. It's, again, as you were saying, you have this idea, you know, that came from out there about what spirituality is and how the really spiritual people practice it. And that may connect with you, but it may not. But there's another way to kind of break that open. And that makes it unique for each of us. God is very big, I mean, bigger than any of us can conceive. So it makes sense that there's more than one way that God responds to us in the world. It would be, I think, really boring for God. Only one conversation going, you know, throughout the ages and throughout the multitudes of people. So that's when art for her really became worth doing, you know, when it wasn't a practice and a process. Of exercising a technique, but when it became who she was, really more of who she was. She also talked about her art as filling space in a beautiful way. Again, not coming to the canvas with, she's going to put a flower on it. I mean, she may have that in her mind, but she really conceived of the whole space as a beautiful space. Where she's painting, where she's not painting, you know. I think that's an interesting way of conceiving, too, of ourselves in the world as filling part of this space, this universe, this place where we live in a beautiful way, and maybe also God filling the space of us also in a beautiful way. That kind of is there and is working, and part of what we want to do is learn to see more of that, learn to see more broadly in that way. And in terms of noticing that, as we're just beginning to talk about, we're all familiar, I think, if you know Georgia O'Keeffe at all, one of the styles of painting that she did are the big flowers, you know, big bright poppies and the big calla lilies, and some things are, you know, like, this is a piece of another painting, but some paintings stand alone like this, just the really big flowers. Well, she made comments about drawing those flowers, and it was, I don't know if it was when or after she was in New York City, but she made a statement that she was going to paint flowers so big even busy New Yorkers would have to stop and take a look. Yeah. You wouldn't be able to ignore them. And for her, that's a point of, you know, to bring it back to a spiritual discipline of mindfulness, of getting the notice, you know, in a very, her artistic, but can relate that to a spiritual way of there's so much beauty and so many things around us that we never notice because we're not practicing that perspective. We're on our way to work, or we're on our way to our next event, or we, you know, whatever it is that we have to do, we're on our way to doing that, and it only takes a moment sometimes, but if it's really big, she thought maybe people, you know, these really busy urbane New Yorkers would even stop and notice that. And sort of that, the next thing I wanted to share is kind of relates back to the beginning where we were talking about how everyone is unique in Georgia O'Keeffe's terms in artistic expression, and then we are in our spiritual expression. But and sometimes we're not even aware of our uniqueness because it's so much a part of who we are. And Georgia O'Keeffe said this about kind of another turning point in her ability to express herself her way in her art. She said she began to draw things in my heart that are not like anyone else has taught me, so natural to my way of being and thinking that it hasn't occurred to me to put them down. You know, that kind of essence of who we are again. As sometimes, you know, we get to a point in our lives where we're so used to who we are, or we've again had this concept of spirituality and spiritual people, and we're so used to thinking about that over here and thinking about us over here that we don't really stop long enough to really honor the most natural parts of us that are really spiritually expressive. So that's kind of some things we can learn from Georgia O'Keeffe and her process. And another thing I don't know if everyone can see this, I can pass it around later, but another thing, the first thing I shared with you, that Georgia O'Keeffe said something about coming down to the essence of something and eliminating some of the details, and that's what the kind of the spiritual process is too. You really kind of hone in on a specific part of who you are, or a specific way of listening to who you are and how God is moving in your life. And you might, as Georgia O'Keeffe does here, she takes this whole picture, you know, in the context of the whole plant and maybe the garden or something, and there's a lot of detail all around, and it's a whole picture, and you kind of see it at first, at least as a whole. It's a little harder to focus, and you get down to a over here where the whole study is not just the one flower, but you're really drawn to the center of the flower, kind of leading your eyes out in the picture. And that's kind of too what the process of the spiritual journey is, and it's kind of a moving down or focusing on the center, and then moving back out and seeing how that reflects back and how that moves back, that energy, that perspective moves back out into the world. I've got another one I can kind of pass around. This one does it a little bit better. We have. It's a little smaller though. But where you start out with this, the flower is really small and a part of the context here, on this one here. And then you start to move in and there's not as much background and you don't see as much of this stem part, but they still really see the whole flower, but you're just focusing in a little more. You can see a little more texture here. And you move over here. and you're really moving toward the center of the flower. And then you really see, like this is kind of a different way of expressing the same thing, where the really the beautiful light around the center that kind of moves in and out. So it's a process of, and it's all real, and it's all part of the whole process, but it's a process of movement that goes in and then back out. And let me pass this one around because it's really hard to see, especially in the back.
Did she discuss that in books or any writings of her own?
She hasn't written a book like on spirituality and art, but some of the things that she has written, those were all quotes of hers that I shared with you. And I got most of them from, there are a couple. One is I don't remember the name of it, I would have brought it, but it's way too big. But it's a great big folio book of hers, and she wrote it. And you have to kind of read through it to pick out those pieces, but they're all there. And the one I am working with right now is called Canyon Suite, and it's a lot of the same quotes are in that book, but she didn't write that. That was done after she died. But the really big one that she wrote is really good. I like that. And she talks a lot about, she didn't put it together that, you know, specific way, but there is this wonderful thread of her growing and becoming her own. Another wonderful sort of spiritual thing that she said, about, you know, just being grounded in yourself, as she would line up all the paintings before a gallery showing, and she would look at them and decide for herself what she thought of each painting, what was good and what she didn't like so much about each painting. And then she said after that, all the critics, good, bad, whatever, just go down the same drain. And she just, you know, kind of was able to let go of having herself be, you know, a good artist on a good day with the good critics and a bad artist on the bad day with the bad critics, but really grounded in herself and secure in who she was and the way she wanted to express herself. I mean, sure, it mattered, but she really set out this discipline for herself of making her own response to her work and her own response to the wholeness of what that was, rather than just getting jerked around by what the critics thought at the time. So. And a book that was very crucial to her being able to do all this, it was a book called something like On the Spiritual in Art. That was a real pivotal book for her when she was figuring all this stuff out. So I think there really is an element of spirituality that she was aware of. But she doesn't really use that language.
What was that book again?
Which one
influenced her?
I'm not sure it's still in print, but it's called On the Spiritual in Art. It was published around not too long after the turn of the last century. Kandinsky is the author of that book. And I haven't looked it up to see if it's still in print or not.
Totally.
Yeah,
but I can't get
started. Okay. Okay. Good. People would know more about this than I do. So that would be one to look up if you're curious about that. Okay. So what I'd like to invite you to do now, if you're feeling brave, is go back a little bit to what we opened with this morning. A few minutes ago, and let's see if it would work to maybe share in pairs. Just is everybody near somebody? Yeah, I think so. Just to have a little different kind of experience of spiritual movement. And I'm going to pick what I hope is a pretty safe question. If everybody could just turn to someone else and each person share what you're, either as growing up, what your vision or your expectation of a spiritual person was, what kind of qualities or what did they do, or how, you know, what did a spiritual person look like? Or you can do that from today if it's really different today. What's your kind of vision of a spiritual person? So if people are willing to. Does everyone have someone who can turn and say, oh, my God.
Thank you. Thank you. Identify what you're talking about. Thank you.
About your joy, and then a conversation about the spiritual spirituality in that joy. So I'm wondering how this image of spiritual person and now this image of spiritual person, how they fit or don't fit, or is there a surprise there? Or
so this is public sharing time?
If you want to. I mean, you don't have to.
It's your turn, Linda.
Yeah. But yeah, this is exactly partnership. You know, and it could be just, you know, the process of it too, whatever you, if you're willing to. Anybody share something?
I don't fit the mold.
Anyone else agree with that? Does anyone else feel that way? I'm sure some people do anyway. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I haven't met her, but I don't think she fits the mold either.
I love you, Mike.
Is it a comfortable thing or a difficult thing or a confusing thing to make that shift from image, whatever that was, to in your own life, that spiritual flowing peace? Or is that just, like somebody over here said, well, yeah, wasn't too difficult.
I'm just having a hard time remembering what I said the first time compared to what I came up with. Mm-hmm. So I can't really, I guess I was lacking in any real spiritual definitions.
So that wasn't getting in your way in the first place.
Yeah, I guess so.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of difficult for me because I can't get away from the idea that a spiritual person or, you know, being spiritual or expressing your spirituality should have something to do with, like, meditating on a specific Bible verse or, you know, spending an hour in mindful prayer or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard. I guess my example of what brings me joy is knitting and just having that quiet time after the kids have gone to bed where I can sit and chat. And that's really hard for me to think of that as being spiritual.
I think that's really common, that, you know, like you mentioned over here and too, about that's kind of a basic image of how people become spiritual, sit down, meditate. And that is a way that people do, but it's not the only way. And that's kind of why I like Georgia O'Keeffe, is because she comes to her art with what everybody thinks is the only way to become an artist, and she does something else.
Well, I think we kind of went, or I don't know, to when. the idea of going from this, firstly, what we thought a spiritual person, kind of, we're talking about being a religious person, mm-hmm. you know, the person you saw in church all the time and was always seemed to be doing all the right things and everything, and then moving from there, and we kind of moved through things about that joy really comes from within. Mm-hmm. It isn't from the outside, mm-hmm. that things that fill you with joy. Mm-hmm. And then we got from there to big things that fill us with joy, but then the small things that bring joy, and how that's all part of the spiritual mm-hmm. person.
Mm-hmm. Two of the people in my life that were very influential were cousins of mine that both were pastors, and they both could preach with such great passion mm-hmm. and made a tremendous influence on me. And they also were excellent stream fishermen.
Uh-huh.
And I, through my own father and through others, but through their influence, I developed an interest in stream fishing. And they had as much passion for preaching about the gospel. I mean, it transferred right over when they would talk about going out to get those trout. And I find this the same thing true, that in my own life, that there's nothing probably gives me more joy than getting out, wading out in the stream. As I walk out here and I see railroad creek, and now living in the Midwest, coming back to this area where I grew up, my juices just really get going. I get passionate about them. And I can go out and I don't need to have anybody else around me. But just to get out there and to flip that fly out there and to go after those trout and to marvel on it. I mean, I sense and experience this is the wonders of God's creation. And it brings me tremendous joy.
Wow, yeah.
But I think of those two men in the early part of my life and that passion that they had for the gospel as well as a passion for fly fishing.
Wow, thank you. Yeah, that's good. Well, the reason that I asked for something joyful is because that often is where our, as you were saying, where your our passion is. And not to say that every spiritual experience is always joyful or that the movement of the Spirit is always joy, as much as that's that place of joy is often what Georgia O'Keeffe, so much a natural part of us that we don't stop to think about it, and you know, as something more, you know, as something spiritual. It fills us up, like you were saying with your knitting. It grounds us. It, you know, connects us in a way that we might not even name, but we're drawn to it for a reason, you know. And if we bring a mindfulness to it, that it is a spiritual time, whatever it is that we're talking about here, then it is. You know, and it's a natural ebb and flow in our life that we often, I think, don't notice because it's natural and because we have this image over here of this is what spirituality is like since I'm not doing that. It doesn't fit the picture. So that's why just invited those particular conversations. Any other comments over here?
I know a pastor in Chicago who's also a career counselor, and he told me once, he said, the problem with Lutherans and is we always think that what God wants us to do is something we don't like and aren't very good at, but should be doing it. And no one ever thinks, I'm good at this, I like it, therefore I am doing what God created me for. So I was struck by that comment, because it's true. You'll say, well, that's not hard enough. That can't be what God wants.
That's what you would say. Yeah. That's like kind of what you were saying, too, where joy can't really be the right response, God.
Yeah.
Sure it can.
It's the old words.
Yeah,
the words by the
yeah.
You have to work at it. You get
so my little plug at the end of the hour here for spiritual direction is just that kind of what we've been experiencing and talking back and forth is a bit like spiritual direction, in that there was a person talking, there was a person listening, and there was the Holy Spirit enfolding or moving, and you were exploring, you know, a bit of your life and where is the Spirit moving. And that's pretty much what the practice of spiritual direction is. It's a three-way partnership in practicing listening to the Spirit moving and practicing widening that perspective of your life and widening that awareness as it then moves in more and more into your the rhythm of your daily life. So I want to thank you all for being here. I have some sheets with different types of spiritual practices on them if you want to take them. If you're creative, you can find the different things that you're already doing that fit in these particular categories. You're welcome to come up and look. I have a few books on different types of spiritual practices or possibilities. If you want to chat with each other some more, ask questions, whatever you like. That's all free to be here. And it's almost time to go do whatever else needs to. Once you sit in your spirituality, too long. Thank you very much.